this is something I just thought of, and that is when you get together with other film festival directors, what do you talk about? What are the issues? And
well, mainly it's always funding. Because no matter where you're at as a festival, you always need more funding. And ticket sales only account for 1/3 of your annual operating revenue, traditionally.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So, and it's one of those things that's kind of misleading, because you look at a festival and go, wow, they're really successful. They've got a lot of people here. Well, yes, that's part of the equation, but it is a standard across the industry in film festivals that ticket sales only make up 1/3 of the annual operating revenue. So all the rest of those other 2/3 have to be made up from sponsors, fundraising events, membership. So when we're talking with other film festivals, we're all dealing with the same issues. And now there's so many more film festivals springing up across the country. And within our own towns, there's so many more nonprofit organizations and different causes that people should and can give to, that we're all facing the same challenges, people having to choose where their money's going and where their support is going. So that's one part of what we have to talk about. The other thing is programming. We always compare notes on films, on what worked really well with our audiences, what didn't work real well. There's that ongoing we talk about the high maintenance people that we have to deal with and why you shouldn't have them at your festival. So, you know, if a filmmaker or a celebrity or somebody that's affiliated with a film is difficult, I mean, it's that news spreads immediately in the film festival.
It's a small world.
It's a small world in film festivals. It really is. And the same way the good ones do too. You know, the good ones travel, you know, as well. It's just that, wow, when you hear of a high maintenance one, you get it immediately. It's very interesting, but we have a really nice support group, a support network, and we exchange leads and all those kind of things, because we're not really competition with each other. I mean, indie film lovers are going to go to indie film festivals. You know, because I'm asking the Durango Film Festival for a film lead does not mean that someone's going to come to my festival and not go to Durango's.
Right.
You know, we have different audiences, different people that we draw from and stuff. So it's a really good industry that shares with each other and networks with each other. We go to about 8 or 10 other film festivals throughout the year to scout films. So, you know, 85% of the films that we show in our lineup come through the regular channels like we talked about with the film selection committee. There's 15% of them or so that we go and handpick from other festivals. We see what the buzz is. We see what film plays really well and gets an audience response. We look for those that will play really well in Sedona. You know, whether it's something inspiring or whether it's something entertaining or something that makes you happy or feel better when you leave the theater, those are the kind of films that we go out and scout.
Okay, what ideas have you gotten? Like, what's some of the best ideas you've gotten for fundraising from some of the other festival directors?
Well, some of it is, you know, we started our own membership campaign, but other festivals, you know, gleaning what they do with their membership, you know, the perks that they give them, how they get members to go from a $50 level to a $100 level, or a $1,000 level to a $5,000 level. You know, some of the really great things, you know, our Second Tuesday Cinema series, which we started in just 2 months after I started in September of 2004, was actually modeled after another festival who had done year-round programming. And we did it very selfishly and part of the reason, because we wanted to have a year-round presence. If we're going out and raising money and making, you know, raising funds to put the festival on, we don't want to just be a once-a-year thing. We want people to see us delivering and programming throughout the year, so they have a reason to give to us and say, I want to support that because they bring great films in here on Tuesday nights. So, which again was modeled directly after another film festival that had started a similar program to it and had much success with it. Our ticketing system came directly from the Ashland Film Festival in Ashland, Oregon, which was single-handedly the best addition we had this year, was our ticketing system, where people could get their tickets to the shows online prior to the festival starting, because it eliminated all the lines at the festival.
Right.
And we had happy customers. So we're always looking at things. Previously, our ticket model had been based on the Telluride Film Festival, which they've been doing for 31 years there, and they never, ever are going to change their ticketing system. It works. People wait in line for 2 hours to see a film. They're okay with that. It really works up at Telluride. That model worked when we were a little smaller here in Sedona. Now that we're bigger, it doesn't work anymore. So we have to adapt. We're constantly adapting to what our audience demands and what logistically we can handle. But that's kind of those are the main things that you swap stories on with other film festival directors.
Okay.
And things.
Okay. Do you have time for two more questions?
Sure.
Okay. What advice would you give to a filmmaker? I know they're the ones that have to make the film, but what advice would you give to a filmmaker based on what you have learned by doing this festival?
Probably the best advice would be to just make your film. I know that sounds cheesy. You know, the vision that you have as a filmmaker, you obviously have that passion, that vision for a reason. You know, don't try to make it something it's not. Don't try to make it something that you think Hollywood's going to buy. Stick to your story. Stick to your vision of the film. There is a market for it somewhere, whether it's a festival, whether it's a major theatrical release, whether it's direct to DVD. You know, whatever it is, there's a market for your film. Make the film you want to see, and don't let Hollywood dictate to you.
It's changing. That model is changing.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
From the filmmakers that you have seen, I'm sure you have many, many stories, but tell me just one that stands out in your mind of something so inspiring that you saw in a filmmaker that's come to the festival.
Well, probably, that's a tough one. There are several. One of the things, well, probably it can be summed up if you go online when you get back home and you Google search Chris Jones blog.
Okay.
We had the most profound thing happen at our festival this year. It's a tiny little 13-minute tiny 13-minute narrative short film called Gone Fishing. That
okay.
probably touched more people's hearts and souls this year at our festival than anything ever has in the 15 years of our festival. And he's a filmmaker from London who happened to be in the United States for a couple months, so he made the trek over from LA to our festival. He did a blog on our festival. That's the greatest piece of promo piece, not only on our festival, but it captures the feeling, the flavor of our festival, and it captures the profound impact that we had on this filmmaker and that this filmmaker had on our audience.
Wow.
Because what he did was he had done three little blogs when he was here, three like 9-minute blogs. He put them together into one 29-minute piece that's still on his blog site. He got people's reactions to his film when they left the theater. He told in the Q&A his reactions to Sedona and the fact that this is just such a mystical and magical and wonderful place. He walked out and he had arrived here at night and he had never been to Sedona before. And he walked out on his balcony at Sedona Rouge that morning and saw this.
Yeah.
And he thought he had been transformed and transplanted to another place. And he's captured all this on video. He got two awards at our awards brunch and he called his mom in London live from our awards brunch stage to tell her. And it was just, so it's that, you know, he went away not only having impacted all of our audience. It's a beautiful, beautiful 13-minute film dealing with death.
Which is a subject we don't deal with well as a whole,
no,
and we need more.
As a society, we don't.
Right.
You're right. So it deals with death in the most profound, beautiful way, and gives such hope. That he impacted our audience by being here, and he captured that on his blog. We impacted him by the feeling that Sedona gave him. And it was kind of neat because he realized it was nothing that Sedona people and us and all of us didn't go out of our way to treat him any differently than anybody else just because we loved his film. That's how we treat everybody that comes for the film festival. So, and he realized that, and he got that, and he addresses that in his blog. And so there are several stories, but that's probably the most profound one that you can just really go, wow. I mean, this guy gets it. This festival gets it. And more importantly, this guy gets it and our audience gets it.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You want the audience to get what you're doing.
You really do. You want it to happen, you know, and the same thing was, you know, we got beyond the call 2 years ago because 3 or 4 years prior, we had had a film called Genghis Blues that was shortlisted for the Oscars, nominated for an Oscar. And the same Adrian Belek, the same director, directed Beyond the Call. And he had such a wonderful experience in Sedona that he sent us the film going, I don't know if this is going to be a fit for you or not. And it ended up being our most popular film of the festival.
Go figure.
So, yeah, so it's wonderful.
Okay, well, thank you so very much.
You.